It's time again for 3-Point Podcast. Three sports guys, three generations, and three hot takes. The triple threat includes baby boomer Ted Patel of Z92.5 The Castle. Our Gen Xer is Matt Burns of ESPN and the SEC Network out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The millennial man is Jared Patel of Bally Sports Detroit. Comments and questions can be sent by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Follow 3-Point Podcast on social media at 3-Point Pod. The fellows will get it rolling right after this from our partners.
Check out the Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center in the Now building on the campus of Memorial Healthcare. Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center includes locker rooms, private showers, steam rooms, a sauna, a lap pool, and more, including a raised track for walking and running with views of the entire Memorial campus and surrounding area. Personally, I love it, man. Sunday, Saturday morning, get in there, get a good workout in, hit the sauna up, and I also do the steam room. So it's a perfect spot. I mean, I think it's only $12 for a day pass, but for those of you who are looking to join for a winter membership, it's up to 15% off for your membership when it's paid in full. Memorial Healthcare strives to bring healthcare and wellness together, servicing patient needs from diagnosis to treatment to rehab and beyond. For more details, go online at www.memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE. That's 989-720-2273.
Rivals Tap House and Grill is the area's go-to spot for the best in food and drink. Meet up with your friends and catch your favorite sporting events on over 20 high-def flat-screen TVs.
And our 120-inch projection screen.
Rivals can handle your large or small parties and is an awesome spot to put on your fundraising events. Weekly food and drink specials including gourmet burgers, wings, pizza, homemade soup, and salads. Rivals also stocks a large selection of craft and domestic brews. Rivals Tap House and Grill, the official gathering spot of 3-Point Podcast, located on the corner of Shiawassee and M21 in Corunna.
It's time for episode 303 of the 3-Point Podcast. A lot of threes there. We're presented by the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Check out memorialhealthcare.org for everything they offer. Sign up for the Memorial Madness Health Challenge. That's kind of fitting at this time of the year. And they also have kids swimming lessons going on, a few spots still available. We want to thank our other partners, AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook and Associates, Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House and Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing. We got a special guest taking some time out of his busy schedule, Langsburg Boys basketball coach Tim Beebe. They have a matchup against Lumen Christi tonight as we're recording this on Thursday morning. And we're going to get right to Tim right after this.
It's much more than a gym. It's the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Stocked with a wide array of state-of-the-art cardio and strength equipment, the Wellness Center also offers a variety of fitness classes. Run, jog, or get your steps in on the raised sky track with views of the entire Memorial campus. As part of your membership, enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with private showers. Also included is use of the steam rooms, saunas, and therapy pool. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Well, it's time now for the Prep Spotlight presented by Jacobs Insurance Agency. And once again, second time this season, we have a special guest in Tim Beebe, the Langsburg Boys basketball coach. And I'll just start it off here to begin with. You're still unbeaten. But what did you think of the atmosphere at Jackson Lumen Christi in that domed gym?
Yeah, it was great. It was, it was packed. I was a little worried that our fans weren't going to have a place to sit in case the teams from their fans from the earlier game, but they did a nice job of clearing out for them. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Like the floors, fairly new, it looks like, and everything. Mm-hmm. And then the surroundings have all that nostalgia. I actually was on we won a regional there in 1986 when I was a junior, so at Hazlitt. So we didn't play Lumen, but we played there, and so looked a little different from that's the first time I'd been in there since then. So
yeah, I mean they put up a few more banners since that time. I mean 54 state championship banners and 27 runner ups. We follow in Michigan, New Lothrop. You pull into 29 championship drive, but you see those banners around that dome, man, it's incredible.
Oh my gosh, yeah, all over. So that's a cool facility. People were kind of asking, why are they playing there? And I was just like, we'll wait and see. But I get it. It's really nice.
Can you talk about it? It doesn't happen very often, especially when you get this deep into the playoffs where the host school is actually playing at their own gym. And that's who you guys play, Lumen Christi, in their gym. Do you think that's going to be an added challenge, or is it kind of just another game that you're preparing for?
I think it just, you know, I mean, we've played a lot of games on the road this year. And I think, you know, yeah, they have, I guess, the home court advantage, if you want to call it that. And they'll have a lot of fans, but we travel pretty well. We'll fill it up ourselves. So I don't think it's that big of an advantage. I don't want to, you know, I don't want our kids to feel that way. You know, PW is doing the same thing. They're hosting the regional and they're in that. Congrats to them as well, by the way. That was a big win by PW. So we're hoping we both represent the CMAC tonight.
One of the big stories with your guys' team has been Xander Woodruff. I mean, Lanesburg's all-time leading scorer. What can you tell us about his game, and how do you see him, you know, not only in tonight's game, but however far you guys make it, his leadership and his ability to basically score 30 on any given night. What can you tell us about his game and how important he'll be down the stretch?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, a kid averaging over 30 a game is really important to you, but he's since the tournament started, he's picked up his defense quite a bit. He's playing, you know, more at both ends, which we've been trying to get him to do. I get it. He plays, you know, sometimes 32 minutes a game. So he needs breaks but he's risen up to the challenge. I thought against Stockbridge, he wanted to guard their best guard and he did a good job. I think we ended up holding him to 3 points. So, you know, that was really a big deal. He's really been, you know, dishing the ball off well, finding his teammates. And, you know, we've been just trying to tell him, you know, Xander, you do a lot more than just score the ball. I mean, he does that really well, but we just like him to realize that there's a lot of other things that he can showcase even more so. And he's done that. He's taken it to the next level with, you know, penetrating and dump offs or kickouts and stuff. So, yeah, he's obviously really important, but I feel like we've proven that, you know, if teams take him away a little bit and he doesn't get his 30, we can still be successful. So,
well, you know, they talk about it a lot in deep in college football, let's say, basketball, pro football. As you get a little experience, the game slows down. And that seems like just watching Xander play on Monday or Tuesday night, he just seemed to be so in control, not in a rush, you know. And by the way, I got to throw this out here. I talked about it in the game. How on earth do you not be at least on the Mr. Basketball ballot averaging 30 points a game? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I found that it's kind of mind-boggling. I mean, it just is, you know, and it's not, I mean, we're the last undefeated team in the whole state of Michigan. So it's just, it's not like he's on a team that's not very good. It's pretty weird. I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it. I try not to get to talk about it too much because it does bother me. It gets me a little worked up and, you know, I'm going to fight for my player.
Absolutely.
But you know what? It's just a lot of things are political and, you know, where you go to school, and we don't have all the bells and whistles on our school district that some of these schools do. So you just have to, you know, I guess play more with a chip on your shoulder. I think that's what he does. You know, he uses that to motivate him. But somebody's going to get lucky and they're going to get him, you know, they're going to take a chance on him in college and they're going to benefit a lot because there's very few people that can score the ball the way he can. You know, he shoots a 10-foot pull-up and I know it's in before it leaves his hand most of the time. It's just, he's just that good. So, you know, you can't get too wrapped up in those things, but yeah, it's pretty mind boggling to be honest with you.
We all know that he'd be on our Mr. Ballot or Mr. Basketball, our Mr. Basketball Ballot, the 3-point podcast, Mr. Basketball Ballot. He'd be on there for sure.
He'd be the winner.
He'd probably be the winner. You're right. But in that vein, so he's obviously the star. I mean, there's no hiding it. He's the superstar of your team. He's the leader. He's the guy that, you know, carries the load for your team, but you have to make sure that the other guys are prepared, right? Because if a team, say they run a box and one, and they really try to limit Xander, or, you know, like the other night, Mason struck with Chessonane, your guys' opponent, he fouled out. You know, you hope something like that doesn't happen, but say something like that happens, you have to make sure your other players are ready to step up, because you guys are at the point now where, I mean, the state championship is your goal. So how do you kind of balance, yes, Xander is your star, he's a superstar, but we've got to make sure the other guys on the court are ready to play, like you said, when he kicks it out for a three or when he dumps it off. These other guys are ready for their moment.
Well, it's been a process. You know, we've talked about it all year about, you know, making sure that, you know, everybody understands their role and Some guys are shooters and only, shooters in defense. You know, they do that. Other guys are, their job is to just take care of the ball or to rebound and run the floor in transition. So everybody's, they know what their role is and they've done a good job. I think Xander's, he's done a nice job with, Mitchell George. Mitchell George is the one kid that didn't play last year on our varsity. He's a junior this year and he's one of our starters and he's done a really good job of getting Mitchell involved and, nice dump off passes and stuff. And Mitchell's actually been our leading scorer the last, for probably the last six or seven games in terms of average. But we have other guys that are seniors that have been through it. Ty Randall, he came over before the Stockbridge game and said, I'm ready. And he was I knew he was going to have a good game and he ended up having 21.
Yeah.
So, he's a gamer and, Cam Ballard can knock down the three when he gets it. And Cam's always been our guy who guards the other team's best guard. So I think everybody kind of relishes in their role that they have. It's taken a while, but they all have realized like, we're not all going to score 30 a game, but, we're ready to score if we can, but we're not going to force stuff and, try to do things we're not capable of. So that's been part of the success of this team, I think.
Big game tonight, obviously, should be one hell of a crowd. What's kind of your quick little spark notes, maybe not game plan, but scouting report of Lumen Christie? And what are you guys going to have to do tonight to get the win?
Well, they kind of play two teams. He starts one group and then he brings in a second group of more athletic kids that, get after you and pressure the ball. And I think that's going to be probably our number one bullet point is, take care of the ball security. Because they like to get up in you and pressure you. And, we were a little loose with it on Tuesday. We had 17 turnovers in that game, and that's way too many. I told them when we played Freeland, one of the reasons we were able to beat them is we only had two turnovers in the whole game. Wow. So that's going to be a big thing. I think also, limiting number one for them is a really, really good shooter, the coach's son. We have to pick him up when he crosses half court, basically. And so we've got guys that can do that. And then it's just a matter of they have other guys who are really good at certain things, but maybe not so good at other things. So like guys that like to go to their left, we got to not let them go there. They're a really physical team, good rebounding team. So we got to make sure we at least neutralize the glass and, just do what we do. Basically, we don't want to get too much into, worrying about what they do. We always have to focus on us. And that's what we've done all year. So that's what we're going to continue to do. But they're very good. They're definitely the best team we've seen this year, I think.
Watching you guys the other night against Chesaning, obviously, and talked about it in the press, and it was pretty obvious watching it that your experience really paid off in that game. The quick start that you had, the press that you put on them really kind of gave you some momentum. How important is it to get a quick jump in a game and not be fighting back?
Yeah, that's really important. Those first 4 minutes are going to be crucial, I think. And we'll talk about it. We don't want to stress them out and make them feel like, if it doesn't go that way, the game's over. You got to also think about that side of it. But we definitely want to get off to a good start and, make sure that, like you said, don't dig yourselves a hole. I think that'll be big. That was, getting out 11-0 on Chesaning was really important for that game, I think. And part of that is I think our guys had been there before, so I think that really helped. It won't be quite as much of a factor tonight, but it still might. We made it to the quarters last year, so we've won a regional title, and I'm hoping that, that experience will pay off for us a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to think that you guys were in this position last year and right back to it this year. When you were talking about Lumen Christie's scouting report, basically, I wanted to ask, kind of what your process is, because I'm thinking back so my senior year, we made a little bit of a run, and I remember not knowing who your opponent's going to be and thinking about how do the coaches, get those scouting reports and find the video and all that kind of stuff. Can you just talk about quickly, like, what your guys' process is the night you win, you find out who your next opponent is going to be, and it's like, we got to quick put together a scouting report and get this information to our kids and then get prepared for the next game.
Yeah, it gets easier as the season goes on because sometimes, when you play somebody, you play them a second time, so you've got stuff on them. But and then you get later in the year, you start looking at, okay, here comes the tournament. And, we've had people go out and film for us. We get games off of NFHS.
Oh,
and,
right.
Of course, you get film from other coaches too. So we've had film on a lot of these teams, and we've been kind of doing some prep work, you know, on the side here and there periodically, of course, not wanting to lose focus on the opponent in front of us, but you know, we've done a lot of that. And so what we do is we give the kids a lot of stuff. We give them, you know, their tendencies, their personnel descriptions, their matchups. We give them shot charts of all the games we've had. We shot chart every kid for them and give them individual shot charts as well, so that, you know, they can kind of see where they like to shoot from, where they like to, you know, what they like to do. So we provide them with a lot of information, and then, you know, the kids, just credit goes to them. Our kids watch a lot of film on their own. We don't really watch film as a team. They watch it on their own. We'll send them clips and things, but our kids are really students of the game, and that's been a big thing with the senior class, especially. They've really taken it to a new level in terms of, you know, they'll tell us things when we're going through a scouting report that they've already watched on their own. So, you know, a lot of the success we've had in preparing for teams is because of them. So,
boy, I'll tell you what, that's a generational thing here. That's changed a lot since I played. I mean, you talk about viewing film, and our coach would just say, hey, go out there and play. You know, that was it. Do your best, boys.
Well,
listen, Tim, we really appreciate you taking time out here, especially on game day. It's amazing. We're glad that you took the time. We wish you the best of luck. Have a deep tournament run. Hope to see you at the Breslin, but one game at a time. We'll not look past Lumen Christi, because it's going to be a nice one tonight. It's going to be a good game. Good luck to you.
Thanks. I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate you having me on. And all I can say, tonight's going to be a tough one, but hopefully we'll be ready and looking forward to it. Looking forward to the atmosphere. It's what March Madness is all about. So go Pack. Amen.
All right. We'll talk with you down the road. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, thanks, Coach.
Yeah, bye.
Jacobs Insurance Agency has served Shiawassee County and the surrounding areas since 1977. Just like 3 Point Podcasts, we've had three generations: Gary Jacobs Sr., Gary Jacobs II, Brian Jacobs, and myself, Noah Jacobs, serving our community with offices in Waterford and Owosso on M21, just west of Home Depot. Stop in or go online to jacobsinsurance.com to get a quote or get your questions answered by our team. Jacobs Insurance is a proud supporter of our local schools and the proud sponsor of the Prep Spotlight. Insure everything, local, independent, and trusted. It's our family working together to protect yours. That's the Jacobs way.
All right, good stuff there with Langsburg coach Tim Beebe. That was a good conversation, boys. That some good stuff going into the Lumen Christi game. You might be listening to this podcast afterwards, but we were able to get him here Thursday morning, and appreciate him joining us.
Yeah, especially because, you know, he is a teacher. So, you know, you think about, we're recording basically at 9 o'clock Thursday morning, you know, so he's able to step away. He said he has a really good student teacher that can kind of take things over. But yeah, you got to think that I just remember thinking the morning of these games, you just have no idea what to expect. You know, it's kind of like, yes, it is another game, but it's like, we're playing to move on in March Madness for a chance to go for a state championship, you know, and it's just kind of a crazy feeling to be at school going about your day, knowing that tonight you're playing, you know, a really good opponent in Lumen Christi. And you were talking about before we started recording to that gym. I mean, the pictures that you sent that we did post on our social media pages, that gym looked super cool. And Tim was talking about the environment, and that's one that I feel like it would just be awesome to go to any game at that gym just to check it out.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and it's rare, but that's one of the few gyms in the state I hadn't been to yet. So it was cool walking in there and just kind of picking up on the vibe. It was fun.
You said 54 state championships, or
54 state championship banners and 27 state runner-ups hanging around the rafters. I mean, it surrounds the whole dome.
How many state titles has Herb Brogan, their football coach, won? What, like 15 or something at this point? It's like
double digits. A one-man ripping group. I know, no doubt about it. Quite a program they have there for sure. And by the way, one more generational thing. A little bit different bells in the school than when I was in school. I was wondering if that was a fire alarm or something. It wasn't our podcast.
Right.
At one point when I was in school, we had we had lights as our bells. So we didn't have a bell. It was just a light going off is what signaled when you're supposed to change classes. So I noticed that as well. It's like a nice like friendly alarm clock sound in Hazlitt schools. I appreciated it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's funny you say that. Again, this is a little sidetrack from Prep Spotlight, but it makes sense because, yeah, during the interview, you know, some bells were going off. My daughter, you know, she's 8 years old, second grade.
Right.
She asked me one time, why are they called bells? Because yeah. She was thinking of, like, you know, a bell, jingle, jingle, right. jingle, ring, bell. And I was like, what do you mean? And she said, well, when they say bell, it sounds more like a horn. And it was just one of those things, yeah, like, you know, yeah, true. I'm not right, sure Claire. Why they haven't changed the name of it, but it was a bell because it literally used to be a bell ringing. Right. It's just kind of funny.
Yep. Today's day and age. We'll zip through the rest of this Prep Spotlight. Again, we want to thank Jacobs Insurance Agency. We talked about the game, Langsburg down to Chesaning, the battle of the unbeaten, 63-52. Xander put up 32. Mason Struck had 13 for Chesaning before fouling out at the tail end of the third quarter. Nate Ferry had 10. Also in other games, Lumen Christie picked up a big win over Hanover Horton. Their star player, Kaysen Burgess, had 21. Langsburg's going to have to deal with him tonight. Game over in Corunna, big matchup in the state, really. Arthur Hill and Saginaw went at it one final time, and Arthur Hill picked up the 57-42 victory, and they move on in the tournament to take on Flint Powers tonight. So quite an atmosphere in the Corunna gym. You don't see it completely packed. I mean,
standing room only. I mean, it was standing room only at the Corunna High School
exactly.
gym.
Exactly.
Let's yeah, just say I never quite played in front of crowds like that.
Yeah, me neither.
That's pretty crazy. No, I mean, we were texting about it. I saw that it sold out. You said yep. like within an hour or two.
Within an hour.
It sold out. I mean, like I said, a standing room only. It was packed floor to ceiling in those bleachers. Super cool environment. I didn't realize that it is, you know, always hear it's the oldest rivalry in the state. It is literally the oldest basketball rivalry in the state, like 114 years.
Amazing.
They've been playing basketball, and now the schools are merging, so now those players will actually be teammates.
Yep.
So just kind of a crazy story, but it almost made me laugh that the game was at Corunna. Like I saw that they were playing and then it was at Corunna, I was just like, of course
it was random, man. But it was cool to see, like, yeah, I didn't really care about the actual game, but I tuned in to watch it for like 5-10 minutes just to see what the gym looked like in an environment like that. That's like something you dreamed about when you were a kid. But yeah, our team sucks, so never quite had that crowd pull. You know, I'm gonna get my soapbox for a minute.
Yeah.
So this rivalry is a big deal.
Is this something you forgot about last week?
No. This is playing off of this rivalry, dude. Quick side note: I never listened to our pods back. I just was like, no, I'm gonna listen to this week's episode. Dude, I sound like an idiot. I literally sounded like I was drunk last week, so I apologize for that. But, so anyway, Arthur Hill versus Saginaw High. Like, I live in the Detroit area now, and here's what I've realized living in this area. And I mean, we see it at Ford Field every year. It's usually Detroit schools there. It's like, yeah. If it's not in this Metro Detroit area, people down here do not care about right. some of these other big games. It's like, dude, back in Michigan's heyday, when, you know, the car dealership, or not dealerships, but the car plants were up and running and everything, Saginaw was producing the best talent in the state. I mean, dude, look at there's been, what, 10, 12 NBA players come out of that rivalry? I mean, Draymond Green, future Hall of Famer. The Los Angeles Lakers head basketball coach right now played in that rivalry. Yeah. Jason Richardson. I mean, the list goes on and on. So people need to put some respect on Saginaw hoops, and then, I mean, even Flint hoops.
Flint, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good call on that, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, both Saginaw and Flint in the heyday were as good as any area of the state. It's like, you know, we talk about West Michigan in football. You know, I mean, Flint and Saginaw produced so many great players. It's just amazing.
The best player in the state, Trey McKinney, who plays for Orchard Lake St. Mary's, is a Flint kid. Just, you know, I mean, we know how Flint's kind of maybe not what it once was. You know, it just doesn't make sense for him to go to school there. So, I mean, Flint, even with everything being said and done, it's still producing some pretty high-level talent.
Absolutely. Yeah. Finishing off on boys basketball, I don't know if you guys caught the score. Pawama Westphalia down North Muskegon 43-40 in overtime. Cash Pohl hit a three-pointer at the buzzer. I saw our friend Jason Hutton posted on Twitter. You could tell he was a little disgusted. I think it's because of his following North Muskegon a little bit. But I guess there was some stall ball played at the end of that game that he wasn't too happy with.
Yeah.
Love Jason. I've always been of this belief. And here's what's funny is, you know, I was kind of in a similar situation in the Freeland versus second Arthur Hill game last Friday, where it was a great game. Freeland was leading, running a 2-3 zone.
Right.
And you know, Arthur Hill went up by like 5-6 points and they went into delay. And it just forced Breland basically had to come out and start pressuring them. And now you're playing Arthur Hill's game. Listen, what was it? Basically, PW held the ball for the final 2 minutes of regulation and the final like 1:30 of overtime. Go out and defend them. Nobody's telling you to sit back in your zone. Like that's almost like a coward's way out. So I don't have any sympathy for them.
No, that's fair. That's definitely a topic for in high school basketball that will get me fired up too, is the delay offense. Now, I say that if your dad Jared is listening to this, who was my coach, we ran the delay a lot. And we ran it.
You guys, you're probably out in regionals. You're out in districts, man.
Yep. I mean, we did it quite a bit when we needed to. So it's not a criticism in that sense. But it goes both ways. Yes. If you don't like getting delayed, go pressure the ball and force the team not to delay. I don't know. It's one of the, I don't really like it. I'd rather see the kids play. I understand the strategy. If a team's not going to come get you and you've got a lead, let's just hold the ball and run the clock out.
Yeah. And without a shot clock, it's never going to go away. Right. And, you know, I don't know when we'll ever see a shot clock in high school. So you just got to deal with it. And like you said, got to go out there and D up. In girls basketball, Duran down to Wausau, ending their season 46-29. It was Corunna over Kersley, a big win for the Cavaliers. Emily Reichert had 13. Langsburg over Perry in girls basketball, 34-25. In wrestling, Ovid-El sees Talon Parsons and New Lothrop's Colton Simons won wrestling state championships at Ford Field. Perry's Cameron Duty took home the silver medal. And this usually isn't the area we talk about, but I came across this. I got to throw it out there. Flint Kersley, they took home the D2 state championship in both boys and girls bowling. That's kind of rare. So congratulations to the Hornets, the bowling state championships. All right, guys, that's our prep spotlight presented again by Jacobs Insurance. We'll get to some sports potpourri right after this.
Nelson House Funeral Home's number one goal is to serve the families in our area. The Nelson House staff are proud to serve our local community with reliability, integrity, and compassion. Unique service representing unique lives, ensuring your loved ones receive the honor and celebration they deserve. Founded in 1880 and continuing the tradition today with chapels in Owosso, Chesaning, and New Lothrop. For more details, find them at nelson-house.com or call 989-723-5234.
Success Group Mortgage and Servicing is Shiawassee County's only licensed mortgage broker, lender, and servicer. That means you get exclusive products not found anywhere else. If you are looking to purchase a home or refinance a home in Florida, Hawaii, or Michigan, stop what you're doing and give Success Group Mortgage and Servicing a call, 989-720-4380. That's 989-720-4380.
The Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center is another great addition to the Owosso community. Start your wellness journey today by signing up for a 2024 membership. Get 15% off a yearly membership and 15% off your enrollment fee for new members. Membership gets you full use of the workout equipment, fitness classes like Pilates, yoga, spin, and many others. Relax in the steam room or sauna after your workout. Run, jog, or walk around the third floor Skytrack. Enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with sparkling clean private showers and other amenities. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
All right, guys, I don't know if you watched any of it last night, but it looks like Michigan State stamped their ticket to March Madness. They're now 18-12, a big win last night over Northwestern at the Breslin, 53-49, real physical battle. Tyson Walker led the way with 19. But the big story, I don't think anybody does it better. I mean, maybe Duke or somebody out there that we don't see all the time, but here in the state, Michigan State, when they have senior night or day,
right,
it's really special, and it was especially special, whether you like him or not. Tom Izzo had a really good post-game interview. He had his son, Steven. I mean, it was almost tear-jerking. I mean, it was really cool to see.
It is, and you guys know, anyone who listens to this podcast, and obviously you two know, I'm not the biggest Michigan State basketball fan. I respect Tom Izzo, but I'm not the biggest Tom Izzo fan, but you're spot on. And the way that they do senior night is just, even in years that, you know, maybe they're a tad down this year. Yes, they're probably going to make the tournament, mm-hmm. but, you know, maybe they haven't met those expectations that they had coming in the season. The Breslin was packed. I mean, it looked like a Big Ten championship game, you know, and all they're playing Northwestern. And just because it was senior night for Tyson Walker and, you know, some of the other guys, it is really cool. It makes you appreciate the Michigan State fan base, how loyal they are, how much they love Tom Izzo, obviously. And, you know, they're Spartans. And the interview that you talked about, if you haven't seen it, I would, you know, go, it's on all the social media sites and everything. Absolutely. Go find it. Cause Izzo afterwards, he was talking about with Andy Katz. He has said before that he missed a lot of his son's childhood because he was, you know, a coach, and he has been open about that, saying, you know, he, in a sense, you know, not necessarily felt bad, but, you know, he had some feelings about how much of his childhood that he missed. And then now how he allowed Stephen to walk onto the basketball team, because obviously Stephen Izzo was not going to get a scholarship to play for MSU, but he allowed him to walk on, got all that time back. He was talking about how he got all that missed time with his son back in these years that he was on the basketball team, and just how special it was. And he even said something like, if you're a head coach, women's or men's, you know, whatever, and you have the opportunity for your son or daughter to play on your team, he said, like, do it, because how special it is and just how cool it is to see him be a part of the team and everything. So that was really cool. And I can only imagine, you know, again, not being an MSU fan, but even if you are just Stephen Izzo on the end of the bench getting 30 seconds of mop-up duty, I can't imagine what it'd be like to be on that team. You've been growing up watching MSU your whole life, watching Draymond and Cassius Winston, Mateen Cleaves, and all these guys kiss the Spartan logo, you know, on that senior night. Now he got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that, like, college sports is all about, you know. That was really cool.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I mean, no debate, they do it better than anybody. And again, dating back last week's pod, it's like, now Michigan State fans are riding high right now. Now they're getting excited for the tournament. You know, we'll see if they lose one more game down the stretch, or if they lose early in the Big Ten tournament, it'll bounce back the other way. But yeah, Stephen Izzo, it is a cool story. I'll be curious to see what he does, if he tries following in his dad's footsteps coaching, or if he goes on, you know, when tries to, if he's like working for Matt Ishbia.
I was thinking the same thing.
No.
Oh, he's got a shoo-in. He's got a shoo-in whichever way
he wants. Yeah, he's set whatever he wants to do. But yeah, what a great tradition. And I mean, we're heating up, man, for March Madness. How are you guys finally kind of getting around to college basketball? You're fully in. Ted, it seems like you watched the game last night. Are you ready for March Madness coming up right around the corner?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I'm going to have to start watching a little bit closer, doing a little bit more studying. I don't know if you heard any of our basketball game the other night, but Casey and I were both talking about the brackets. And I said, listen, if you're going to be in any bracket, be in the 3-point podcast bracket number one. And then we both said our number one goal is not necessarily to win the bracket, but beat Jared. That's where we're at.
I did listen to your guys' broadcast. This is a little bit of an aside, but I love the one part where, so we were talking about how Mason Strzok fouled out, you know, in the third quarter. Smitty almost lost his, like, play-by-play voice. He became almost like a fan, where fouls called, from what I heard, it was a very questionable call. And he just yells, like, no, into the microphone as soon as they call him, and you know he's out for the game. I just thought that was funny. But yeah, dude, that's the target on my back. I think I finished dead last in the bracket pool last year, so not going to be hard to beat me.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I this is probably the least amount that I've paid close attention to college basketball this year. I mean, again, because of where I work, I am basically forced to at least watch some.
Yeah.
But not because I'm a fair weather fan. I still love Michigan basketball, but because they are so down this year, I have not been that checked in to watching every one of their games, even like when other Big Ten games are on. I'm just not that interested right now.
Right.
You know, I don't know if it'll come when the brackets, you know, when the conference tournaments come around and, you know, that kind of stuff starts happening. Probably it always happens that way. You start getting excited for the buzzer beaters and all that. But
in the storylines.
Yeah, all the storylines and the fun players and, you know, the Cinderella stories and everything. I'm basically going into this year, I'm going to just wing it with the bracket. Mm-hmm. You're saying you want to do your homework and study up. I'm not going to. I'm just going to go and be like, that one looks good. That one looks good. We'll see how it goes. I'll probably end up dead last, like you did, Jared, last year.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, word of advice. Last year was like what I did basically was wing it. And usually I'm at the, like, I've always, my claim to fame from brackets is that first weekend when I know who is playing, I'll be number one on the leaderboard. I'll say it again this year. Last year, I didn't do any research, kind of shaping up a little bit like that this year again, where limited research. But that's what led to my last place finish. So,
and it's also a little bit because it's hard to know. It's hard to know who's actually really good.
Right.
Purdue was playing really well, but they've slipped up, and it's Purdue. You just never trust Purdue. Duke has been up and down. UConn. I mean, do you really trust you? You know, some of these other teams. Who do you truly trust to make a run?
Right.
So yeah. Who knows? It's probably gonna like it is every year. It's gonna be chalk every year. You think, nope, this is the year that an 8 seed, a 12 seed is going to make a run. Yeah, there will be a couple upsets, but then
always is.
It'll be the top 3 or 4 seeds in the final four. So,
yeah.
By the way, I hear more about the women's tournament than the men's. Caitlin Clark is the wildest thing, is the wildest spectacle I've seen in college sports in my lifetime. I just don't understand. It's amazing how big she's truly gotten and how she's basically a one-man media circus. It's been cool to see. And, I mean, tell me you're not going to be watching every one of their tournament games hoping they can make kind of a Cinderella run like what they did last year. I can't wait to see it.
It would be a little bit of a Cinderella run this year because they're not as good as they were last year. I mean, they 100% rely on her. And rightfully so, she can – shoot it from half court, knock it down. She's got Damian Lillard type range, but yeah, they're not as good as they were last year. So like I saw one of the analysts, Andrea Carter, she was saying that she doesn't even think Iowa's a Final Four team right now.
Right.
So it'd be a little bit of a Cinderella run. Then obviously you got the storyline with LSU, South Carolina. Right. And then if Iowa can upset one of those teams, the women's game, the only thing about the women's game, cause I have watched a fair amount of that, because of, again, where I work, It's so top heavy though. The early rounds in the women's tournament, they're blowouts. You get to Sweet 16 on, you start getting some really, really good games. But yeah, the early rounds, I mean, it happens in the men's tournament too. But there's a lot of blowouts in the women's tournament.
If you're the bracket maker, I mean, you'd be dumb not to. I don't care how it falls. If you don't have LSU and Iowa in the same region, and have them playing in the Elite Eight or wherever they would probably meet up, then you're just not doing your job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I
mean, at the end of the day, I understand they're probably two of the top. I'm not following it as close to you. I think LSU's like a top 10 team.
Yeah.
So make it happen. Make it happen. Right. We need that matchup. That I was thinking, like, what are the only things that could make her a bigger star? It's a national championship, and it's another matchup against LSU. So let's somehow make one of those for sure happen.
You know, and it's funny you segued right into it. And I had a note here on my page. You know, Big Ten's women's tournament is sold out in Minneapolis. I mean, how amazing is that? Sold out every game. It's incredible. I was going to ask you this question. I think we're all on the same page, though. Caitlin Clark is absolutely a superstar, greatest women's basketball player, arguably of all time. Yeah, I mean, who's the ESPN guy that said, well, if you don't have a championship, you can't be considered great? That's ridiculous.
Jay Williams said that, I don't know what I think I get what he was saying, basically. I do understand it somewhat, but at the end of the day, I mean, if she had the same career and she was playing for an LSU or a South Carolina or a UConn, like one of these powerhouses, she's doing it at Iowa. I'm not exactly studied up on women's college basketball history. I would guess they're not exactly a powerhouse. So it's been like a one-man band. That's what's impressive about it. You can't chalk it up to, you have to win the title to validate how good you are. It didn't make sense to me. It was a
clickbait. Because would you say the same thing about Pete Maravich? You know, Pete Maravich didn't really win any championships.
What were your thoughts? You're a Pistol Pete guy.
Yeah.
What, I mean, I'm surprised you didn't have the big thing where you're like, oh, he did it in 3 years, didn't have a three-point line. I'm surprised we didn't get your whole – kind of tangent today.
Well, no, it's not worth even talking about the way I see it. It's, again, that's another clickbait thing. People getting all worked up about, she passed Pete Maravich. Yeah, she did. She scored more points than he did. But if you look at the whole career, come on, you just can't compare him. She's the greatest women's player of all time. Pete Maravich, arguably the best college player of all time. But there is arguments there. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and on it goes. But the comparison between the two, I don't get caught up in that. I mean, it's just something to talk about, I guess.
All right.
Yeah, the championship thing is funny, too, because, she's at Iowa. not UConn, not South Carolina with Dawn Staley, right, or, you know, some of these other kind of bigger college, even Tennessee, you know, had a run obviously with Pat Summitt and stuff. So, you know, she's not at a powerhouse program, but she's still carrying the team. It's not like she's doing this. No offense to the MAC. It's not like she's scoring all these points at Eastern Michigan and just filling it up, you know, like in points that don't matter, not making the tournament. I mean, they're still a really good team. So the points do matter. Yeah, the thing you're talking about. So she's done it. She broke the all-time scoring record. You know, she passed Kelsey Plum, and she did play more games than Kelsey Plum. She played more. She had the three-point line, which Pistol Pete didn't have. So people are trying to make all these arguments. Like, does she really deserve the record because she did it in more games? She could actually come back for another year if she wanted to because of all the COVID stuff or whatever. But she's not. She's going to the WNBA. It's just one of those arguments that it'll never be settled because, Ted, you remember, it would go all the way back to the home run record in the MLB. Yeah. Roger Maris played more games than Babe Ruth and broke the record. It is what it is. I mean, it's just, you can't like put asterisks on stuff. I mean, they kind of tried to with Roger Maris, but you can't do that because the rules change. The three-point line obviously is a big one that is different now than it is back then. It just, you know, clocks, everything is different. The record just is what it is. She broke it. That's it.
Well, the funny thing is, I don't know if you guys saw the tweet. I think, I can't remember who tweeted it, but Dale Brown, the former LSU coach, I guess, kind of documented every Pete Maravich game and analyzed, you know, what would have been three pointers and then prorate the amount of games. But it came out to be he would have averaged 57 a game with a three-point line.
Here's where I'm at with Pistol Pete. He's a legend. I read his book.
That's ridiculous.
It is.
What's also important to know is that, one, he was shooting the piss out of the ball. 50
he was.
Like 50 attempts a game. His team prototype was never that gunner. Good. I think his dad was the coach. I think maybe they made one tournament. They were not a good team.
Nope.
And apparently back in those days, every foul, you went to the free throw line. So,
right.
Yeah, let's prorate that as well. So if he's going to prorate the three-point shot, then you need to prorate that as well. Right. So I love Pistol Pete, but at the end of the day, I mean, you almost – that record is so wild that it is impressive, but also it's a totally different game. And basically that offense was the Pistol Pete show. It wasn't let's win as many games as we can. Let's boost Pistol Pete's stats.
But whatever, Pistol Pete's the man. He's my man.
You need to reread the book, man. You need to reread the Pistol.
His book is awesome. That book is awesome.
Yeah, I guess you skipped the LSU chapters.
I didn't skip anything, young man.
57 a game, prorated or not. That would have been crazy.
Pretty impressive. Hey, let's move on because we want to get an elongated Tedertainment. Since we last talked about the Red Wings, they're on a three-game losing streak. Yeah. Dylan Larkin's out for a couple of weeks with lower body injury. Yeah. Their playoff hopes a little slimmer now, but they got to try to regroup. They got killed last night by the Avalanche 7-2. Got to get it back together, right?
Yeah,
it's all about momentum, and that's what we talked about last week. I mean, health, obviously. Dylan Larkin's, I mean, probably their best player, and, Captain. You know, he's got to get healthy. You just got to get into the playoffs and be healthy.
Right.
And then, you know, if you can get hot, if your goalie gets hot, you can, you know, maybe pull an upset. But still, it's still exciting to watch these games.
Yeah, and the final topic I have, it's back to the Tigers for a moment. We talked about the Tigers.
I was gonna say, look at our hats. It must be baseball season or something.
It is baseball season, and I watched the first spring training game with Jason Benetti's debut. Man, we are so lucky to have that guy. He is so good and smooth and relaxed. Yeah. I mean, it was a great debut. I look forward to get even better and tighter working with Simo. I know we talked about it. I think you guys are still rotating guys periodically, but if you stick with one guy, I think you'd have a better chance for a real solid season broadcasting wise, but that's just me. But Benetti, you can't go wrong.
Well, Benetti is interesting. I mean, he does so many different sports and with so many different on-air talents, like he's kind of the perfect guy to handle a few different, other guys. And like you said, it's funny, man. He has fun, and it comes through the screen. That's what never, you know, he was the big hire. I honestly didn't really know who he was. I don't watch, like, I'm just not in the weeds like that with some of these play-by-play guys. But, I mean, the press clippings made sense once I watched his entire spring training game. a couple of days ago. He's the real deal. It's it's impressive how just comfortable he you know, Simo's laughing it up with him. Yep. It's just, he has fun. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. You hear about, I've worked on some crews, football, basketball, and been in the production meetings before and after games and heard the play-by-play people talk about specifically that, because it's always a conversation before the seasons. What do we do with the crews? A lot of times they want to keep the same producer, director, talent, replay people, everyone. They want to keep everyone the same through a whole season to have that continuity. And I've heard the play-by-play people talk about that, how big that is, what you're talking about, Ted, having the same guy or girl sitting next to you doing the color. So you can actually feed off each other. You know, you think about Rod and Mario. We talk about with the Tigers. It's Rod and Mario. That's what everyone goes back to. They did every game. And until whatever happened at the end of their run, they seemed like they just got along so well. They fed off each other so well. Mario would stop talking and Rod could chime right in. It just went so smooth. It's like all the big duos that you talk about in football. You know, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. They're so good at what they do now. It is big hearing like the continuity side of having the same person next to you. But to your point, Jared, I think that's what makes Benetti so good is he can just step from one booth to the next and, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, maybe they do a little meeting beforehand and then it's just natural. He really is. He's so good. So I hope the Tigers get good too. So he doesn't have to call crap teams like Shepard had to the last 10 years or whatever. Right.
Well, I think they are going to be better this year. Not to pile on at all. It is spring training, but Jave's not off to the best start for the Tigers.
I was going to send, I was going to tweet it out, or I was going to just send it in our text thread, but I was like, nah.
I was thinking about it too, Matt.
If you guys are already, you know, I love it, man. So basically I'm just playing with house money at this point. It's funny. If he was hitting six home runs in spring training, you guys would be saying, oh, it's spring training. That's, who gives a shit? If he's striking out, now it's like, is like as if the season already started. I mean,
all it took for me to see him swing at that low outside pitch again in that game.
He's working out some kinks, man. He'll be ready.
Okay. All right.
But specifically, though, you are right, Jared, because if he was 10 for 12 with six home runs and two triples, I'd say, oh, it's in Lakeland. Who cares?
Yeah.
But the one I was going to send, I think it was Chris Castellani, you know, with Barstool.
Right.
Former 3-Point Podcast guest also.
Yep.
I think he tweeted out a screenshot of the, you know, like the strike zone, the swing, you know, the graphic that they put with where the balls and strikes. And it was on one of Javi's strikeouts. And like three of the swinging strikes, the three swinging strikes were low and outside, like way off the plate. Exactly what Ted said. Ted, last week, you were like, as long as he doesn't swing at those, and that graphic was right there. That's what I was going to send and be like, sorry, Ted, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. Oh, well, it is spring training, so we'll move on. And hopefully, you know, he's their guy. He's signed. He's as good as it gets defensively. So we'll take what we get out of it.
Here's the big thing is he's not, you know, I mean, since he's been with the Tigers, he's usually been batting second, third.
Right.
I mean, he slid down in the lineup. I mean, he's a 6-7 hitter.
He should be ninth.
All right. We'll see. I'm not selling stock, man. If anything, I'm buying it right now. It hasn't been a great spring, but that's what the spring is for.
I think
that's a big part of this team. I know we're trying to not dive in on the Tigers too much right now. Like you said, Jared, when he came in, he was expected to be basically like what Miguel Cabrera was in his prime. Like, you're going to take over this team.
Yep.
And that's just not who he is. He's a great defender, gold glove caliber defender. So, right, maybe temper expectations. It's that paycheck that he's getting that makes it hard to say, oh, you can hit 220 and it's okay. It's like, man, but you're one of the top paid players in the league. It reminds me of like Brandon Inge. You remember Brandon Inge at the end of his run? Gold glove caliber third baseman, could only hit like 210, but it was okay because he was so good in the field. It was like, you'll take the bad plate appearances because he's so good in the field. Maybe that's what Javi is. And like you always say, Jared, you don't want anyone else up at the plate than Javi in a big moment. Then maybe that's what he's going to be. But the big part, they need Riley Green. They need Torkelson. They need some of these other guys to step up.
Yep.
So Javi doesn't have to be hitting number two, hitting cleanup, because it's like, that's just not, that's not what he is.
Yeah. Maybe he'll see some pitches too, if those other guys pick it up. So right. We'll see. Good luck to the Tigers. We'll definitely be talking about them more as the spring season goes and the summer. But next up on the podcast, we're going to get into some tettertainment tonight. The Academy Awards are coming up, so we'll get into that right after this.
Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services is the official and exclusive realtor and broker for 3 Point Podcast. Corey and her team have been providing personal, exemplary service in real estate sales since 2004. Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services are total professionals helping you sell your current house or buying your dream home. Stop in at 216 West Exchange Street in Owosso, get info online at CoreyShook.com, and follow on Facebook at Corey Shook Realtor for more details. If you are looking for honesty, ambition, and expertise, you're looking for Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services.
Are you ready to take your brand to the next level? Look no further. Introducing AZ Branding Solutions, where we help grow your brand from A to Z. At AZ, we're committed to helping businesses and organizations like yours reach new heights. Our full-service print and digital branding agency is your one-stop destination for all things branding. Need a stunning web or graphic design that captures your essence? We've got you covered. Want captivating social media content that engages your audience? Done. And that's not all. We're experts in video production and photography, ensuring your brand tells a compelling visual story. Plus, we specialize in screen printing and embroidery, turning your brand into wearable art that speaks volumes. Whether you're a startup or an established business, AZ is here to transform your brand dreams into reality. Ready to grow with us? Partner with AZ today and experience the difference. Visit our website at www.az.co or give us a call at 1-844-360-AZEE. AZ Branding Solutions, where your success begins.
All right, guys, I'll start with one of mine on my list. I tweeted it or I texted you guys. I don't know why I was late to the game. I probably should have saw this movie when it was in the theaters, but it's on Peacock right now, The Holdovers. I don't know if either one of you guys have seen it. Paul Giamatti stars in it. It's he plays a cranky history teacher at a remote prep school. It's Christmas break, and he is forced to kind of babysit kids that can't go home for spring break, you know, and it just starts there. And it's a true real movie. You know, it had a great plot. The acting was excellent. You know, it wasn't one of these movies like the superhero movies with all these bells and whistles. It just had a great story. The acting was great. I think he has a legitimate chance to win the Academy Award. He's a great underrated actor. And if you get a chance, it's three stars on the 3-point scale, The Holdovers. Excellent movie. And if you have Peacock, you can watch it for free.
It was, did it ever go to theaters or did
it? Oh yeah.
It
started out in the theaters. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. And he's nominated for Academy Award. They might have a couple other awards. I think, the lady that played the school cook, she got stuck there over break as well. And I think she's nominated for Best Supporting Actress. But it's just I couldn't recommend it more. It's just a fun 2 hours, really well done. It kind of reminded me, I don't know if either one of you remember the Dead Poets Society. Oh. Yeah.
With I've Robin seen parts Williams. Of that movie. I haven't seen that. That's with why am I blanking on
Robin Williams, plays? Yeah. That's really good. It kind of reminds me of that because it's kind of a period place. This takes place in 1970. And, you know, when they do those kind of films, they hold up forever. You know? So
yeah, Giamatti's really good. I mean, he's been a supporting actor. You know, he's sometimes like the secondary guy in a lot of movies, but he can definitely carry the lead. He's a really good actor.
Yep.
I got a big one. This is actually one I've been sitting on for 2 weeks now. Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
So the final trilogy of my reviews of this series is in. 2.9 stars on the TED 3-point scale.
Pretty solid.
Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. I feel like once you watch them, you become almost like a cult like follower of these movies. It's hard to explain. Like, they're not perfect, but there's something magical that you really appreciate about them, especially given when they were made. I still can't get over how good the CGI looks and everything. And Peter Jackson, absolute visionary. Again, back in 2002, he's putting out these massive battle scenes that I'd put up there with Game of Thrones level, wow, you know, action way back when. Just the way this movie was casted, Elijah Wood as Frodo, perfect. You know, Sean Astin as Samwell, perfect. Ian McClellan as Gandalf, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, Andy Serkis, maybe one of the most underrated, you know, character actors. That guy is unbelievable with how he can play, you know, Schmeagol and Gollum, basically, the two guys that he plays in this movie. The list goes on and on. The music, the imagery.
Oh, the music is amazing. The
fantastic yet complex story that Lord of the Rings is, it's just incredible, man.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm glad. So what... if we're going to talk about it a little more, because Ted, right, you've never seen any of them, right, Ted?
No, I'm getting intrigued. I might have to spend some time and watch them. It sounds pretty
good. Like we said, do not watch them when they're on TBS or, you know, whatever. Nope. Pop in the DVD or wherever they're. I don't even know if they're streaming. Where did you watch them, Jared?
Oh, Max.
Do you have the DVDs? Or?
On Max?
I think Max. Oh, okay. Max, I believe, has the full, like, extended editions.
Yay, I got it. I have Max.
I was going to say. So, yeah, watch that. Do not watch them on TBS. But, Jared, so what'd you think about The Ring? You know, you were always wondering, like, what is this all about or whatever?
So a listener of the pod basically is kind of like a Lord of the Rings diehard fan, was kind of filling me in on, to be honest, I'll have to go back and read the text on what exactly the ring symbolizes. But essentially, there's like 9 different, you know, smaller rings, and this one singular ring controls the rest of them.
Right.
To be honest, I still don't totally fully understand it, but I still get it. Right. He also,
I think the movie, I've heard people say the movies, you know, yes, they are 3.5 hours long. The movies do a pretty good job of doing that. But I have some friends who are like, they read all the books and they were like, the books lay it out. The books, you get it. So, you know, the movies can only kind of do so much.
Right. The same guy, basically, he had a great line where he basically said the Fellowship, which is like the group of those 9 guys, you know, the Hobbits and all these other guys. Basically, he described that Gandalf was kind of the Billy Bean of the Lord of the Rings universe with how he was able to assemble like a dream team. It's a perfect squadron. It really is.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to explain. It's like a team I want to be a part of in some way, somehow. One scene I just got a shout out that was my favorite of the entire series. So there's this big battle, and you know, whatever they're not called the Fellowship, whatever the good guys are called, are running away from, you know, basically dragons. And there, it's a wide open field. It's beautiful how it's shot. Gandalf is like back at the fortress. You know, they're running away. They're getting picked apart by these dragons. In comes Gandalf on an all white horse with his like staff, shines like some sort of light at these dragons. Apparently, it's called Nazgul. And they, and like the music with this little like 10-year-old boy's like harmonious voice. It's like, wow, this is like how I imagine heaven would feel. He goes in, saves the day, scares the dragons away, and then like leads this whole, you know, cavalry back home to the fortress. So Ted, I think we need to keep the Lord of the Rings reviews coming. We need you to watch them.
I will definitely check that out when I have some time. I did want to throw in here though, Matt, you said you aren't into Game of Thrones, dragons, this and that, but there's dragons in this, huh?
Yeah. I know that's the one. Yeah, fantasy type movies. That's why I never got into Star Wars and Game of Thrones. But for some reason, I think because when these came out, I was in high school / college. I mean, everyone was watching them.
Right.
You know, it was one of those, like,
you had,
if you weren't watching Lord of the Rings, like, what were you doing? And it would be like everyone's at home chilling, having drinks and stuff. So let's put on Lord of the Rings and talk about it or whatever. Orlando Bloom as an elf also is fantastic.
Yeah, great
cast. Really, the cast is really good in those movies. It's been a while since I've watched them. So you're making me want to go back and watch them, because there's probably a lot of, and they're so long, you know, like there's probably a lot of stuff I even forget about the storyline, but
for sure.
Ted, shave out, you know, a whole holiday weekend, Ted, do it.
Yeah. It's going to probably have to wait till after March Madness, to be honest with you, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yep.
Another movie, which me and Matt have both seen, Ironclaw.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this circle for a long time. I broke down, bought it for $20 to rent it. So did Matt.
Yep.
I mean, I'll give my quick thoughts real quick on it. Sean Durkin, the director, he essentially, his first movie, I think he's got a couple that he did, you know, maybe 10 years ago or so. You could tell it was definitely his passion project. He nailed it. The wrestling scenes, A+. The setting, you know, apparently they shot it in Baton Rouge. It makes you want to live there. This like beautiful farm they're on. just perfectly casted. The Zac Efron, I thought it's his best performance he's ever had as the main guy as Kevin Von Erich. Who else I thought was very good was Harris Dickinson, who's in the movie Triangle of Sadness, which is a weird kind of indie flick that I saw that I really liked. He's unrecognizable as another Von Erich brother, David. I thought he was incredible. As kind of in David's role in this, you know, wrestling trio, was he was kind of the showman. He was the one that was doing all the promos and talking and doing all that sort of stuff. I just thought those two plus Jeremy Allen White as Cary Von Erich just perfectly casted, and they were clearly dedicated to their roles. I mean, Zac Efron, I don't know if he took roids. I don't know how he could achieve his physique without roids, to be honest. But wow, they nailed this movie at every turn.
Yep. No, it's an easy 3 out of 3. And like we said to Ted, I know you don't want to drop you already spend enough on your TV.
Where I'm at.
But the justification, like Jared and I said, if you're going to spend money to go to Owosso Cinemas and watch a movie, or, you know, wherever you're going to go to watch a movie, it's similar to that.
I get it.
You know,
stay
at home on your couch, pop your own popcorn up in your kitchen and, you know, watch down there. But no, it's an easy 3 out of 3. If you wanted to wait until it was free, wherever it's going to stream. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jared laid it out perfectly that the cast is fantastic. Jeremy Allen White, because we watched Shameless. And, you know, he's Lip and Shameless, and we haven't watched The Bear. And I know he's like won a ton of awards and stuff for The Bear, his role in that. He's an incredible actor. He's one of my favorite. Like, if people ask you who your favorite actor is, I don't always think of him. But then, like, whenever I see him in a movie, it's like, man, he was so good. Yeah. But yeah, he's great. Zac Efron, I mean, for him to play a role like that, I'd be curious to hear what his regimen was to get that big, because dude is huge. I mean, think about him back in his whatever his Disney teenage days transforming
high school musical.
It's like, good Lord. But no, it was fantastic. And really, Ted, like you mentioned last week, I think, you know, you weren't sure like if your wife or, you know, if you guys would be into it. Yes, it's wrestling. That's what it's about. But really, there's so much more to it
That.
It's about the family and the dynamic with the dad and the brothers, you know, the close-knit bond with the brothers. And there's wrestling is what it's about, but it's about so much more than that. And honestly, it gets you. I mean, especially if you have brothers or if you have siblings, you know, and you guys were athletes and you know what it's like to kind of put in the work and, you know, all that dynamic that family clearly had, maybe to a fault. You know, if you know the story of that family, it's pretty sad how things play out. And I think I said last week, I would love to see a 4-part 30 for 30 on that family, or a 6-part HBO really deep dive in on that family. Cause this was, you know, about 2 hours and you get into it. I mean, it's really good.
Yeah. Super, you're talking me into it. And kind of like what I said about the holdovers, this one's a period piece as well, isn't it? Does it take place?
Oh yeah.
So it's shot in like, basically they're in Texas. Like apparently this place is called the Sportatorium. It's like, dude, it feels like you're in the 70s, 80s, 90s. That's what it feels like. It's perfectly shot. Like these wrestling scenes, like, so their big walkout song was Tom Sawyer. That workout and, you know, in actual ring, like, montage for two and a half minutes when that song hits, it's one of the best movie scenes you'll see. It's up there with, you know, the Balboa, Rocky Balboa, you know, training montage. That's really what it kind of felt like.
Yeah.
The thing that's wild about this story, and I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but this should just tell you the tragedy that this family went through. So the director, Sean Durkin, actually cut out one of the brothers in real life, Chris Von Erich, the youngest member of the family, because, quote unquote, he killed himself. Quote unquote, this is what Durkin said about that. It was one more tragedy that the film couldn't really withstand. And that is so true. Like, you're watching this and all the shit they went through, apparently, you know, the big thing is that their family is cursed.
Yeah,
and it's like, dude, this does not seem real, all the shit they went through. And the fact that there's just a whole nother brother that the director literally said, like, we cannot include another story like this because the viewers, like, basically cannot take this amount of pain. That's how it felt. But it's also beautiful because they end it on a positive note. I've never seen such a sad story that they spin so well into ending, like, uplifting. Very cool.
Wow.
Highly, anyone out there, Instead of going to the theaters, not to take business away from the theaters, spend the $20 and watch this.
Yeah. Might have to get out my Venmo, whatever it's called, pay for it. or click on. You know, we're talking about some great movies here, guys. And I got another one just to throw in there. I know, Jared, I know you have seen it. I don't know if you have, Matt. Oppenheimer. I finally saw that. That's on Peacock now. And I can see why it got all the buzz it did, you know. At that time, I decided to go watch Barbie instead, which is okay. Barbie was a good movie, but Oppenheimer's, that was an epic movie, man. It was very well done, acted well. Matt Damon, I thought he kind of stole it. I mean, he was really good. The only criticism I would have in that one, and maybe it's unfair, Robert Downey Jr., he's nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. It always seems to be the same acting that he does. You know what I mean? The way he presents himself. It's just something that irks me a little bit. I like the guy personally when I see him on interview shows, but just his performance didn't really do it for me that much. Hmm.
I kind of forgot that he was in that, to be honest. I mean, it's been a while since, you know, that was Barbenheimer was what everyone was talking about. I forgot he was in that.
I hate to say it, Dan. You said you're in the minority. I mean, you are, man.
I know.
I mean, the scene, it's been a while since I've seen it. I'm a little hazy, but, and this is, I mean, dude, if you haven't seen Oppenheimer yet, then so be it. I mean, you're going to get it spoiled. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
But the scene when basically he realizes, like, he's kind of screwed in that trial. I mean, that's great acting, man. And how they kind of twist the knife on him. I'm trying to remember the film. Remind me what exactly happened where didn't his assistant kind of have a funny line to him that made him realize, like, oh, I'm effed right now.
Remind
me a little bit.
Yeah, it was his assistant, or I forget what the guy's role was. But, yeah, he did – I will say that. He did have – he sold that feeling right there. He did. I will say that. But so I don't know. It's just something about it just irked me a little bit. Yeah. That's all. Sometimes that happens.
Well, you were probably – I mean, you came into it thinking this is an Academy Award performance.
Right.
Whereas, like, at the, you know, if you watch it in theaters, you're just like, wow, Robert Downey Jr., he's not an Iron Man costume.
Yeah.
He's right. Looking at, you
That's
know?
True. And he can act. I mean, he can. Yeah. He won an Academy Award for playing Charlie Chaplin way back in the day.
Right.
But I've definitely followed his career, and it's been an up and down life he's had for sure.
Yeah, quite the life. It's definitely a movie too, because it's, you know, it's based on a true story. That it's cool to relive that. Obviously, if Jared and I weren't around for when that actually happened or whatever, so you kind of get to.
I wasn't around, right?
Yeah, well, the three of us weren't, but I kind of forgot how old you are, Ted. But
Ted would have been around for when they, you know, so Oppenheimer does all this, and then basically, soon as the bomb is dropped, the best part of my favorite scene of that movie, you know, you're building up to the atomic bomb getting dropped, and you're telling it from Oppenheimer's point of view. They drop the bomb, and he like has no idea that it's even like going on. Like he finds out the same way everybody else finds out.
Yeah, they kind of cut him out at that point.
Yeah, it's just wild how that went down.
Yeah,
I mean, the way they made the whole, I mean, we're spending a lot of time on Oppenheimer, but it's a great flick, you know, reason too. The scene with Einstein, how they pay that all together, where you see it at the kind of the start of the movie, and then you realize that's basically Einstein giving him the advice, like, hey, they're not going to appreciate you now, but they'll appreciate you, you know, later on in life, basically just to make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
And it just was a really good flick. I mean, Christopher Nolan been my favorite director ever since the Batman trilogy. So anything he puts out is great.
Yeah, there was a little controversy about there was a couple sex scenes. Did you feel they belonged in the movie? Didn't belong in the movie?
I didn't. Yeah, that's my one. That's a big critique. And I said this at the time when I gave my review. You know, this summer is Christopher Nolan said something like, "Oh, this is the best I've ever portrayed romance in one of my movies." And it's like, dude. There's like not really any romance, just Florence Pugh's naked for a couple scenes, really for no reason. I agree with you. It's like I thought those were a little bit out of nowhere.
Could have done without it. It'd been just as good a movie for sure.
Right.
Because you could still show the romance, but like not get that deep into it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I remember you guys talking about it and seeing other people criticize like, maybe not that necessary, but.
Yeah, I understand why they did, because of this torrid affair with this communist chick, but it could have definitely been portrayed without it. I don't want to sound like a grumpy old man there, but overall, I'd say a solid 2.8, 2.9, just from my rating. And I got to quickly throw out here, Jared, I meant to talk about a couple weeks ago. You said, hey, since I'm the resident SNL guy that watches every episode. Shane Gillis.
I thought you were going to talk about last week's, but okay.
Well, last week's was fantastic, I thought.
Because obviously. Of the host?
She did a good job. I thought she did a good job on the show. So we're talking about, what's her name, Jared?
Sweeney.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, but I thought she did pretty well on the show. But going back to Shane Gillis, we talked about that storyline. You know, he was signed to be a cast member, and then some stuff was dug up about some of his stand-up stuff. I thought it was a solid show. You know, I like the guy. I want to see him in stand-up, but I thought the opening monologue was a little awkward, but I understand it.
Yeah. I did watch some of the opening monologue. I didn't know all the details of, except for what you said, of what happened with him. But it was definitely awkward. I mean, you knew he was going to make it awkward.
Right.
Because of what happened. But he's a funny guy. I've only ever seen clips. I've never watched one of his full stand-up routines. I've seen a bunch of clips. Funny. I always think with comedians, you know, it's all about like what kind of comedy you like. Some, you might watch it and be like, nope, not my kind of comedy. Someone else watches him and it's best comedian ever, you know? So it's just so subjective, I guess.
Yeah. I personally don't know. I'm not in the weeds of SNL, but I really thought he had two or three of the best skits that I've seen in the last few years on that show. The Trump, you know, Air Jordan, you know, like Mike type skit. I thought that was great.
That was good.
I thought the Limu Emu skit was great, but that didn't even end up in the final show. Apparently,
yeah, I was going to say that didn't make it. That was the funniest skit he had, I thought.
Yeah. So I thought it was. I thought he did a good job. Yeah, the opening monologue, it was, you know, it's funny, it was a little bit awkward at times, and he was kind of acknowledging that. I thought it was going to be a little bit more about kind of his backstory and how, you know, he did have a job at SNL and then got, you know, fired or whatever. But, yeah, he's huge. I thought it was a good show. Sydney Sweeney, I mean, Sydney Sweeney's beautiful, obviously. That's kind of been the big thing. Yeah. I didn't find any of those skits particularly that funny. But
right.
That's
just, I thought I watched them. They were good. But right, they weren't like I'm laughing hysterically, belly hurt laughing, you know, whatever. Yeah. They were good because, like you said, she's beautiful. She's like the hot, you know, star the actress right now. So
yeah. But, well, the thing I was impressed with her, I kind of was expecting.
She's a good actress too. I do think she's a good actress too. I want to say that.
Well, that's where I was going to say. I mean, I thought she handled the skits and being able to read the cue cards pretty good, you know. There was no mix up, so I thought overall it was all right, you know. I'm still in on Saturday Night Live, but I will fast forward through certain musical acts, and if a skit doesn't grab me right away, I fast forward through that. Weekend Update almost always nails it. I mean, I always think that's really good usually, so
yeah, that's always worth it. At least watch it, even because at least one of the jokes is going to be good in that.
Yeah,
it's funny. I tuned into Saturday Night Live for the first time, maybe in my life, for the Shane Gillis episode. The very first skit they came out with, I don't even remember what the hell it was, but God, it was horrible. And I was like watching, it's like, yep, SNL, still what I thought it was. But they resurrected a little bit the rest of the show. But
well, here's my note. You might appreciate this. I took some notes while I was watching the show. Okay. Cold open with senators, bad. Monologue, awkward. Some funny stuff. The first sketch, Jamaican church skit, dud. Betty Knapp's was the next one. Rock Bottom Kings, dud. HR meeting,
dud. I thought that was solid.
I don't know. Donald Trump, Donald Trump shoes, okay. The floor, okay. Music, I'm out. 21 Savage. And I won't go on anymore.
I love that notes.
It's pretty good. Pretty good Cliff Notes version of that episode of SNL right there.
Exactly.
I gotta throw one more out there. I'm curious if Jared, if whether it's you or your girlfriend, I highly doubt Ted has gotten into it. Yeah. But it's one that you would probably chuckle about. I feel like I brought this up before because my wife has watched previous seasons of this show, but right now it's like what everyone's talking about, and you know, on social media and stuff. Love is Blind. On Netflix.
Yep.
You know what? Have you heard about it, Ted?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So anyone out there who hasn't, so it's a reality TV show on Netflix. I think this current season was number 6. So it's been out for a little while. It's actually a pretty cool concept. If anyone doesn't know about it, I'll just quickly. So what they do is they bring all these, you know, men and women in, And the goal is to get them to find their husband or wife, and how they meet each other first are in these pods where they can't see each other. So in theory, they fall in love with each other just by talking. They don't see each other. They're not supposed to say, like, I have this color hair, this is how I look. Right. It's all about just talking
blind date.
Yep. It's a blind date, literally a blind date. Yeah. You know, you don't see each other. The idea is, you know, you fall in love with each other, not based on appearance or not based on physical attraction. And then, you know, they get in, they get engaged. Then they do see each other. They go through a week or two of living with each other. And then the show wraps up with if they actually do end up getting married. That's the show right there. A kind of cool concept, you know, and it's one of those you get hooked because you grab onto a couple of the people.
Yeah.
You know, some of the characters are interesting, funny. You know, you want to see if some of the couples actually do end up getting married or whatever. So it's one of those shows. It does kind of grab you. This current season was filmed in Charlotte. So they go to, they go to different cities and cast, you know, that way. So when they do get hooked up, you know, they're not trying to move across the country or whatever. They all live locally. So this one was in Charlotte. So it was kind of fun to watch, to see, you know, the scenes, you know, it'd be like, oh yeah, there's that or whatever. It's one of those shows, Ted. I honestly think if you sat down and watched it, if you didn't have Lord of the Rings, you didn't have Iron Claw, you didn't want to, you know, whatever, you might actually kind of watch it, because it's just, you don't have to. It's one of those like mindless shows to watch. It's not deep. It's not, you know, you don't have to think about anything. Yeah. It's pretty, some of it's just pretty cheesy too. You know, it's kind of like, really, are they taking this that seriously? You know, some of the stuff, but I would say it's one of those shows, if you've got nothing else to watch, turn it on, see if it's something that interests you. And it's kind of fun. Some of the characters are cool. It's worth a little bit.
Well, the one thing you're talking about, it's one of those shows that you can watch with your significant other, right? I mean, you know, and then you can make snide comments or whatever when you're watching it. That's part of the appeal of some of those shows. I know the one show I'm not getting back into is Naked Attraction. That thing is, I'm out of here on that one. I watched one episode of that and said, okay, that's enough of that one.
Yeah, but it's the final season. So, you know, you got, or the final show aired. So you got to see if some of the couples actually did make it through. Mm-hmm. Only one of the couples actually made it through to getting married, but a lot of drama, you know, unnecessary drama. Obviously everyone on the show is attractive, you know, so you know.
So is that Netflix on, and how many episodes a season?
It's on Netflix, and I'd say it's 10 or 12 episodes. Okay. So did you watch it, Jared, or your girlfriend watch it?
I watched season one because it came out right in March of, you know, COVID. 2020 during COVID. Yeah. So I binged that in like a day or two with my brothers. I appreciate it. It's a good show. You know, the big storyline that I thought I saw on Twitter heading into this season was like some girl in Charlotte, must have been Charlotte, like couldn't find her boyfriend, like thought he was like missing, reported it to the police. Turns out he was like, I'd love his blind. So I thought that was, I'd be curious to see how that guy's story played out. That was kind of wild. Right. But yeah, it's a good show. Like all these dating shows, man, I've always been like, I remember the Matt James season of The Bachelor where I liked that guy. I was like, hey, I'll watch this. Like, yeah, it's good. Kind of mindless TV. You get some laughs. It's people are good looking, which I'm always a fan of watching that. So
sure,
definitely helps.
One more real quick. We don't have to get too deep into this. Another one that my wife has watched just quickly. I feel like I might've brought this up before, but can bring it up again. You talking about, you know, the attractive people on these shows and all that, the love interest, the drama, all that. There's one called Too Hot to Handle. I don't remember if I brought this up before. The concept of this movie, Ted, if I haven't, or if you don't remember, is insane and hilarious. So again, it's a bunch of super attractive people. They get together in a house and they're supposed to, again, find their eventual love interest or whatever, their wife, husband. That's the whole goal. But through the process, while they're going on these dates, while they're having dinner, while they're mingling, while they're talking, while they're all sleeping together and, you know, everything, like literally sleeping together in the same house, they cannot have any sort of sexual contact.
Oh, right.
And if they do, you know, they like lose points or, you know, whatever. Like that's the whole thing. They go on these dates, and of course they're on a beach, they have pools. So they're wearing next to nothing. And, you know, they're supposed to be, and they sleep in the same beds. Like, there's only a certain amount of beds in the house. So it's like, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. But it's like, it's funny seeing the guys and the girls. They talk about, like, how am I going to make this?
It's so ridiculous.
Well,
that's another one I watched the first season of. I mean, I don't think they've ever made it out with any money. Like, it's almost to the point where it's like the point of the show is to, like, basically let's just go on and disobey the rules.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'll be honest. After when you talked about it the last time, I did watch the first episode. And I go, I'm out. I can't take it. These people are too stupid.
It's ridiculous.
I got one last review for us, maybe. So this is timely. Just came out on Netflix. Adam Sandler, The Spaceman is a movie. I don't know how to feel about it. It was solid. Honest to God, if it was casted by anybody other than Adam Sandler, like, I thought his performance was very good. If it was anybody else playing that role, I think this would have been three thumbs down. I think he was good. The movie's slow. You know, it's kind of a wild idea. He's up there. He's kind of dealing with loneliness. He's taking drugs. All of a sudden, this spider creature, voiced by Paul Dano, appears. You don't know if it's real. You don't know if it's fake. And it's kind of mostly just about him dealing with his loneliness up there all by himself in space. But
oh, okay.
It was I not a glowing review. It's worth a watch for free on Netflix, but I felt like it was just really missing some special sauce. Like I said, it was slow. The whole spider thing, I thought it was going to reach a crescendo that really paid off for kind of the super slow build the entire time, but I just felt like it never really paid off to me. I'll be curious to see what you guys think of it. I think it's worth a watch, but
yeah,
kind of disappointing. I thought it was going to be a 3 out of 3. It just left a little to be desired.
I'll definitely. You guys know I'm in Adam Sandler season tickets, as you always say, yeah. Jared.
Right.
So I'll definitely watch, especially since it's just on Netflix. But I'll be curious. Him in like serious roles, not his goofy comedy roles. You know, sometimes are pretty hit or miss.
Yeah,
I'll be curious.
Well, I'll check it out too since it's free. But and I do like Sandler as well. But interesting. So he plays an astronaut type of guy, huh? He's in space. That's where Spaceman comes from.
Yeah, he's by himself out there on some sort of mission. Basically, you know, he's got a wife that's pregnant with his kid at home.
Yeah.
The only way to communicate is through like this, you know, Zoom type thing. She hasn't been responding to him on Zoom for a while, so it's like. Yeah, I think the premise was interesting. Like, I mean, you saw like the trailer. I'm like, wow, I can't wait to watch this.
Right.
But I just felt like it just didn't quite hit the marks that I was hoping it did.
So if you say the weakest part, would you say is the script? I mean, the story?
I felt the dialogue is good, I thought. Dano's, you know, spider character was interesting. And every time he's on the screen, you're kind of watching. More so just the overall, like, what the point of the movie was.
Mm-hmm.
I get what they were trying to do. But I felt like they didn't accomplish it very well, in my opinion. My girlfriend loved it. So I don't know. Maybe I was just overanalyzing it. But to me, it felt like the overarching theme, you know, it's about loneliness, overcoming it, that sort of thing. I felt like they just didn't exactly nail it. It just seemed a little, it was, like I said before, it left something to be desired.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got Tedertainment out of the way this week, a good elongated one, especially with the Academy Awards coming up. But I was just thinking, man, it's basketball now. I don't know if I'm going to fit much in here. I'll have to sneak some things in periodically, but it's a good time of year, boys. Good podcast again. Good to catch up. Jared, I don't know. I don't know if I like you calm like today or shot out of the cannon like last time, but it's all good. It's all good.
Yep. It all depends on when we record, man. These morning podcasts, I'm like, you know, it takes me about 30 minutes to even wake up during them. So
let's keep them in the morning then. No.
Yeah.
I actually like the morning better because I'm awake, you know. When we do the 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, I sometimes have a little struggle.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's close this out. We want to thank all our partners. They include Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center. Make sure you talk to a rep or go online, see what discounts are available. Get healthy and get in shape. Details at memorialhealthcare.org. We also want to thank our other great partners. They include AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House and Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing. Special thanks to Langberg head basketball coach Tim Beebe for joining us for this podcast. Had some interesting stuff in that conversation. We want to wish them the best of luck the rest of the way in the tournament. That'll do it. Peace and love, everybody. Be kind. Thanks for listening.
Hey, gang, please consider a donation to the ALS Association Michigan chapter, serving people with ALS and their families since 1988. There still is no cure for Lou Gehrig's disease, and every 90 minutes, someone is diagnosed with ALS. For more details, go online at webmi.alsa.org.
3 Point Podcast is a Sportsnet Michigan 3 Point Podcast production. Subscribe and share on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or any of your favorite podcast hosting sites. Comments and questions can be sent via social media at 3 Point Pod or by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.